This is the Ask Chef Jacob Podcast, Episode 7, The Science of Freezing. And here we go with another episode of Ask Chef Jacob, found online at askchefjacob.com. Part of the Stella Culinary Podcast series, found online at stellaculinary.com. My name is Jacob Burton, and this question comes from the Stella Culinary Forum, found at stellaculinary.com/forum. And forum member Barbecue Playa entitles his forum thread, The Science of Freezing. And Barbecue Player says, prior to my involvement on this site, Stella Culinary, I always felt freezing was as simple as pop it in the freezer. It has turned out to be a science worthy of discussion. Jacob touched on it in the wing forum, and it's a pretty complex subject. Our talk was about freezing wings, but I think the same science applies to all proteins. I'm not saying all proteins freeze the same. I'm saying the same science applies as discussed in his chicken and fish comparison. So yes, that's actually a very astute question, and I'll give you a quick little breakdown of what happens when you freeze something and what the resulting outcome is. So when you freeze something, it's usually to preserve it or make it last longer, and this is because bacteria really can't perform at such low temperatures in the freezer. And also, too, most bacteria needs water to survive. When you lock that water up into ice, the bacteria doesn't really have access to that water anymore, and thus it can't really spoil your food. So when you freeze something, though, what's happening, obviously, is the internal moisture or the water that that item contains, which all food items from vegetables to protein to starches all contain water. And when you freeze it, that water turns to ice, quite obviously. Now, the faster something is frozen, the finer those ice crystals will be, and the slower something is frozen, the slower something goes from like room temperature to a frozen solid state, the larger the ice crystals will be. And what this means for you, the cook, is those larger ice crystals will cut into the cellular structure of the item that you're freezing and rupturing some of the cells. So for in the case of like proteins like chicken or beef or fish, when those ice crystals form, and if they're larger ice crystals, they're going to cut into the cellular walls of the proteins. And when those cells are ruptured, they're going to release moisture when thawed. And this is why when you take a perfectly dry piece of chicken breast that's still raw and you place it in your freezer, when you then go and thaw that chicken breast, you're going to notice some weeping, the technical term for liquid loss from food. And that is because of the ruptured cells. Now, like commercial fishing boats are a really good example of fast freezing, where they have flash freezers on board. And these are extremely cold. Some of them run off of liquid nitrogen. And that flash freezing creates very, very fine ice crystals. And they're so fine that they really don't do a whole lot of damage to the cellular structure of the fish. So when the fish is then shipped and thawed, it has a pretty damn close to fresh texture and flavor, which is why they do this in the first place. So that way they can stay out to sea longer, catch more fish. As they catch the fish, they freeze them. Whereas before this technology was available, they had to catch the fish and go back into port really quickly, offload the fish, and go back out. So not a very effective use of their time. So in general, the faster something is frozen, the better. The slower something is frozen, the more liquid you're going to lose. And then when you finally cook that protein, it's going to have less moisture, less moisture means less flavor, less juiciness. So an overall inferior product to something that was frozen faster. Now, sometimes, though, it's actually good to have those cellular walls ruptured. As we talked about with Corey's question in episode 5 of Ask Chef Jacob podcast, where the freezing of the French fries actually ruptures the internal starch cells of the French fry that's been par cooked, which gives you a fluffier texture which is nice. And also the moisture loss that comes from freezing those fries allows them to crisp up better when they are taken directly from the freezer and deep fried. So in some cases, it could actually be a good thing. Now, one of the things that we also talked about in a previous episode of Ask Chef Jacob was we were talking about vacuum packing proteins before you freeze them, and then you place them into an ice water bath that's heavily salted. Now, the salt will actually drop the temperature of that ice water, and if you saturate the water with enough salt, you can get that temperature down to around 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And because water is a lot better at conveying temperature than the air in your freezer or the hot air in your oven, when you place that vacuum-packed protein into that salted ice water, it's going to rapidly drop its temperature, and then you take that protein, you place it in your freezer. So this is allowing the freezing process to happen faster, which is going to give you smaller ice crystals and less weeping when you then go and thaw it, which means a better end product when you actually thaw the frozen item. Now, if you have access to liquid nitrogen, then you can freeze extremely rapidly in liquid nitrogen. And this is why a lot of high-end chefs that have liquid nitrogen tanks in their restaurants will use the liquid nitrogen to make ice cream, because it freezes the ice cream base so rapidly. And basically what they do is they take an ice cream base, which is a creme anglaise, which is usually a custard base with cream or milk, eggs, vanilla extract, etc. And they place this into a KitchenAid or a stand-top mixer with a whisk. And while they're rapidly whisking this ice cream base, they will literally pour liquid nitrogen directly into the ice cream, which freezes it almost instantly. And because it freezes so quickly, the ice crystals are extremely fine, which gives you a really, really smooth ice cream texture. So that's another example of how rapid freezing can form smaller ice crystals and give you a better end product. And that's it for this episode of Ask Chef Jacob. Thank you once again for joining me. If you have a question you'd like answered, head on over to AskChefJacob.com and you could submit your culinary or cooking question there. Don't forget to sign up for a free email newsletter found over at StellaCulinary.com, and I will see you in the next episode.